Hello, and welcome to this morning's edition of 5 at 8. Today is Friday, March 22nd, 2024, and I'm Mark Overman, joined by my co-host, Linda Carlisle. In this episode, we'll talk about Secretary of State Antony Blinken meeting with President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi of Egypt to discuss a potential ceasefire in Gaza and the release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas. We'll also cover the missile attack on Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, by Russia, the lack of sanctions on a titanium firm partly owned by Rostec, the UN General Assembly adopting a resolution on AI guidelines, and the U.S. Air Force testing a hypersonic cruise missile in the Pacific for the first time. Story number one, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting with President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi of Egypt to discuss a potential ceasefire in Gaza and the release of Israeli hostages held by Hamas. Blinken's visit follows an Israeli raid on a Gaza hospital, adding urgency to ceasefire negotiations. The U.S. plans to introduce a new resolution on Gaza to the UN Security Council. Israeli military attacks on the hospital have forced civilians to flee. Despite calls for restraint, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu plans to continue military operations in Gaza. Netanyahu's actions have drawn criticism from Democrats, while Republicans show support. The U.S. is pursuing diplomatic efforts through various channels. Frustration with the handling of the war runs deep among Israelis, and some are unhappy with the Biden administration's positions. NPR reports that. Would you look at that, Linda? The situation in Israel and Gaza is escalating by the minute. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is really in for a high-stakes visit. I mean, he's got talks on a potential ceasefire, the release of Israeli hostages. It's a lot. What's your take on this?
Blinken's task is not easy. The situation is extremely complex and volatile, and this latest Israeli raid on the Al-Shifa medical complex in Gaza, it's very troubling. The hospital is already grappling with an immense humanitarian crisis, and now this attack has added an urgency to the ceasefire calls.
Yeah, and that's not even the full picture. Blinken's got to meet with Netanyahu and his war cabinet. Then there's a new U.S. resolution on Gaza at the UN Security Council. That's a lot on his plate. But Linda, I want to ask, what's the deal with this whole Rafah situation?
The situation in Rafah is quite dire, Mark. It is where the majority of Gaza's displaced population has been forced to take shelter. Netanyahu's intention to launch an operation there is creating significant tension. Despite calls for restraint from the White House and other Democrats, Netanyahu seems determined to proceed.
And what about the humanitarian crisis? I mean, the world's leading authority on hunger is saying a famine risk is imminent. That's quite something.
Yes, Mark. The humanitarian crisis in Gaza is escalating rapidly. More than 31,900 Palestinians have been killed since the fighting began, according to the Gaza Ministry of Health. The potential famine risk just adds another layer to this crisis. It's a very grave situation.
Yeah, it really is. And the politics of it all, it quote S dot 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 IT quote S a mess. You've got Schumer criticizing Netanyahu, Republicans embracing him, and then you've got this whole internal divide in the U.S. It's just, I don't know, Linda, it's a lot to take in.
It certainly is, Mark. The political landscape is very complex and fraught with tension. There are no easy solutions here. But one thing is clear. The need for diplomacy and dialogue is paramount. That's the only way forward if we want to see a resolution to this conflict.
Story number two. In a report from CNN, Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, was hit by a missile attack from Russia, with more than 25,000 people seeking shelter in metro stations. The attack caused injuries and damage, but no fatalities. The type of missiles used is being investigated, with suggestions that they may be of North Korean origin. The incident highlights the need for more military support for Ukraine. North Korea has been accused of supplying Russia with missiles, leading to concerns about the impact on the Korean Peninsula. The U.S. is working to provide additional military aid to Ukraine despite delays in Congress. Can you believe this, Linda? North Korea possibly supplying Russia with missiles. That's quite a game changer. It's a chilling reminder of how interconnected our world is, isn't it? One action here, a ripple effect there, and before you know it, the whole global balance is knocked off kilter.
It's definitely alarming, Mark. The idea of a non-combatant country like North Korea getting involved in this conflict, even indirectly, throws a whole new set of variables into the equation. It complicates things, not just for Ukraine and Russia, but potentially for other nations as well.
And let's not forget the people who are caught in the middle of this, the civilians whose homes and lives are being destroyed. It's gut-wrenching.
It really is, Mark. And it's a stark reminder of the human cost of these conflicts. It's not just about the politics or the military strategies. It's about people's lives.
Yeah, exactly. And what about the U.S. Congress stalling on military aid to Ukraine? I mean, come on! It's clear that Ukraine needs the support. This isn't just about politics. It's about doing what's right.
Well, Mark, it's a complex situation. The political will is there, but it's being caught up in bureaucracy. It's frustrating, but it's also a reminder of the challenges of governance. It's not always as simple as just doing what's right.
Sure, but at some point you've got to cut through the red tape and just get it done, right? Anyway, it's clear that this conflict isn't just about Ukraine and Russia anymore. It's a global issue with potential ramifications for everyone.
That's a very valid point, Mark. And it's a reminder of the interconnectedness of our world today. Decisions made in one part of the world can have far-reaching impacts elsewhere. It underscores the importance of careful, thoughtful decision-making, particularly when it comes to international relations.
Story number three. In a report from Washington Post, VSMPO Avizma, a titanium firm partly owned by Rostec, a defense conglomerate under U.S. and EU sanctions, has not faced sanctions itself. The company exported large amounts of titanium to Western nations, including those supporting Ukraine, in 2022 and 2023. Data for 2023 lacked details on transactions with Western firms. There's something interesting about the situation with VSMPO Avizma and Rostec. It's like we're watching a high-stakes game of poker, with countries trying to maintain their economic interests without showing their hand too much. It's a balancing act, isn't it? These Western nations, including us, are in a sense playing both sides of the field. We're imposing sanctions on Rostec and its leader, Kamazov. But at the same time, we're also doing business with a company that's part-owned by Rostec. It's a bit of a contradiction, wouldn't you say?
In some ways, yes, it can seem like a contradiction. But international trade is often a complex web of interdependencies. It's not as simple as just cutting off all ties with a country or entity, especially when it concerns a resource as critical as titanium. But it does raise some ethical questions, doesn't it? If we're truly committed to holding entities accountable for their actions, then should we not also scrutinize our own actions? It's a bit like the U.S.'s relationship with Cuba or South Africa during apartheid. The economic ties were always there, even if they were not openly acknowledged.
Ah, you've hit the nail on the head, Linda. Commerce, in many instances, seems to be a separate entity from politics. But is it really? We say we don't condone certain actions, yet when it comes to business, we're willing to look the other way. And let's not forget the elephant in the room, the impact on the common folks, the workers. These sanctions aren't hurting the bigwigs as much as they're hurting the everyday people. It's a tough call, and I don't envy the folks who have to make these decisions.
And I think it's critical to remember that trade isn't just about goods and commodities, it's about people. It's about the people who mine the titanium, the people who work in the factories, the people who use the products. And ultimately, it's about the impact that our actions as consumers and as nations have on these people. So, in the final analysis, we have to ask ourselves, are we making decisions that uphold our values, or are we simply following the path of least resistance?
Story number four. In a report from Al Jazeera, the UN General Assembly has unanimously adopted a resolution calling for international guidelines to address the risks and benefits of artificial intelligence. The resolution aims to protect personal data, monitor AI for risks, and safeguard human rights. The U.S. and 123 other countries sponsored the resolution, which was adopted by consensus. This is part of global efforts to shape AI development and prevent potential harm. Is this not a monumental step, Linda? The United Nations General Assembly unanimously adopting the first global resolution on artificial intelligence. It's signaling a global consensus on managing the risks and benefits of AI. This is not just about the technology, but about the protection of personal data, human rights, and even democratic processes.
It's clear that the world is waking up to the potential implications of AI, both positive and negative. This move by the UN is reminiscent of the early days of the internet, where there was a push for international cooperation to regulate its usage. Just as then, we're now faced with the challenge of balancing innovation and security.
Well said. And I think it's interesting to note the role of the U.S. and the EU in leading this charge. The U.S. co-sponsoring this resolution and the EU already working on the world's first artificial intelligence rules shows a proactive approach that's commendable.
That's an important point, Mark. Different regions are taking distinct approaches to AI regulation. The secure by design concept pushed by the US, UK, and others is a unique perspective. However, the challenge lies in the implementation. Given the complex and evolving nature of AI, ensuring secure design might not be as straightforward as it sounds.
Yeah, you're right. It's a bit like trying to hit a moving target. But I think it's important to remember that all technological revolutions have had their share of challenges. Remember the nuclear age? The world had to come together to establish regulations and prevent misuse. Maybe that's what we are seeing now with AI.
That's a great point, Mark. The evolution of AI is indeed akin to the advent of nuclear technology or even the internet. Each time, we've had to grapple with the reality of potential misuse. However, this time, the stakes are higher. AI has the potential to disrupt not just our economies, but also our societies and democratic institutions.
It's a double-edged sword. On one hand, it can revolutionize industries, boost productivity, and transform our lives in ways we can't even imagine. But on the other hand, we're looking at potential job losses, privacy issues, even threats to our democratic processes. It's a tightrope walk for sure, or...
As we venture further into this AI-driven world, it's imperative that we proceed with caution, balancing our drive for innovation with the need for security and ethical considerations. We must ensure that the benefits of AI are reaped by all, without exacerbating existing inequalities.
Couldn't agree more, Linda. It's going to be a long journey, and this UN resolution is just the beginning, but it's a step in the right direction, and I'm excited to see where we go from here. Story number 5. In a report from CNN, the U.S. Air Force tested a hypersonic cruise missile in the Pacific for the first time, signaling competition with China in advanced weapons technology. The missile, known as the ARRW, is designed to attack high-value targets and travel at speeds exceeding Mach 5, making it difficult to detect and intercept. China and Russia are also developing hypersonic weapons, with China claiming to have an edge in this technology. The U.S. test is seen as a message to Beijing that the U.S. remains a strong player in the hypersonic domain. The future of the ARRW program is uncertain, but there are signs that it may be revived in response to China and Russia's advancements in hypersonics. How about this, Linda? The U.S. Air Force testing a hypersonic cruise missile in the Pacific. It seems like a clear message to China and Russia that the U.S. is still in the game, don't you think?
This test appears to be a strategic move by the U.S. to demonstrate its capabilities in the hypersonic domain. It's interesting to note that China and Russia have been perceived to have a distinct advantage in this area. However, this test shows the U.S. is not a mere observer, but an active player.
Exactly. You know, it's like a high-stakes poker game, trying to keep your cards close to your chest while trying to suss out what the other guys have got. But there's a lot more at stake here than chips on a table. What implications does this have for global security, Linda?
That's a complex question, Mark. Hypersonic weapons, due to their speed and maneuverability, pose a significant challenge to current missile defense systems. This could potentially lead to a new arms race as countries strive to develop or acquire these weapons and the technology to defend against them. There is also the risk of escalation, as the use of these weapons could potentially trigger a larger conflict.
So, it's like we're stepping into a new era, huh? The age of hypersonic weapons. And it seems like quite a challenge to manage. What role do you think international organizations should play in this?
International organizations such as the United Nations could play a crucial role in promoting dialogue and cooperation among nations. They could work towards the development of international regulations or treaties to control the proliferation and use of these weapons. Additionally, fostering transparency and trust among nations could be key in mitigating potential threats. However, it's important to remember that these are complex issues, and the solutions won't be simple or easy.
Yeah, it's not going to be a walk in the park, that's for sure. But, you know, as they say, necessity is the mother of invention. Let's hope the world can come together on this one.
It's a stark reminder of the need for continued diplomacy, cooperation, and dialogue in the face of emerging global challenges. Despite the complexities, it's crucial to strive for a world that prioritizes peace and security over conflict and competition.
That's it for this morning. Have a great day and see you all tomorrow.
5 at 8 is researched, written, and performed by artificial intelligence. For more information, visit botcaster.ai.